Hey, welcome to the Stack Chart Spotlight. I'm Steve Taylor. This is Garrett Brown, and we're from Channel Program.
What's up, Garrett, man?
What's up, man? Hey, have you seen the movie Risky Business?
Yes, but yeah, I have. Well, dude, I think you're a little mixed up today. We're going to be talking about risk and compromise assessment today. I mean, that's kind of a we're not talking about Risky Business movie. I guess that's for another conversation, but yes, I have. But
there goes everything I had planned for today's episode.
Just move on.
All right, let's dive into the stack chart.
All right, yeah, there we go.
All right, so first of all, before we get into the stack chart, I want to remind everyone that on Wednesday, March 27th at noon, we have All-Stars happening, and you should definitely attend this. Register and attend. We've got panels happening. We've got speakers. It's going to be a fantastic event, and the first 200 registrants get a copy of Michael's book, which is going to be really awesome. So definitely check that out. Now, moving on to the stack chart. We have one company that's up in the chart toppers quadrant, and that company is USecure. So, hey, congrats, USecure. Good job on you guys. But the other thing I notice is there's just a lot of companies here, man. Risk assessment, and this is just a huge category. What's going on here, man?
Oh, dude, you know, risk and compromise assessments are like something that there's like been an explosion in this because of a lot of the machine learning, AI, and being able to congregate things into a way where it's you don't need like that technical staff that we used to have, the specialty roles. I mean, don't get me wrong, you still do, but what they're able to do is make this. They're using their own staff and they're translating it to nice dashboards that are quick and easy. And, you know, it's just a lot of complexity out there. And I think one of the things about it is like things move so fast. So the AI, ML, all that comes quick. So, you know, and on the flip side of that, there is sort of, there's now teeth in terms of like, you know, if you're not doing it, you could lose business, or there could be some laws, or, you know, especially if you have clients in certain industries, but there's compliance that, you know, maybe you're going to have to do. And then, and also everybody asks about security. I don't care who you are. So it's a way of showing you're increasing your security posture because you have to. And the other thing too is business continuity. You know, you go down, or your clients go down, you know, everybody notices. So it is one of those things where these guys just make it easy. So I'm really glad to see this is up there because, you know, if not the bad guys and all these guys, they have all these resources and stuff to be able to keep way ahead of you. These guys are pulling everything together so you can keep up or ahead and proactive. So I love it.
Well, one thing that I like to do is I like to put my MSP CEO hat on, and I like to look at reviews. Okay, and something that I like to do is, and maybe I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but like right now these are sorted by most recent. I like to sort this by like lowest satisfaction rating. Or, you know, something along those lines, because I want to look at the most critical reviews. And the reason I say that is because I don't always take everything that I see in these reviews as like, I don't even know how to describe it. I take everything I read with a grain of salt, but I am interested in what some of these MSPs have to say when they get a little more critical about some of these platforms. So I always do that. But like I said, take everything you read here with a grain of salt, because bottom line, somebody might not like something that you see on a platform and you might think it's great. Like I couldn't stand the look and feel of one of the RMM tools because I just didn't get it, but it was one of the most popular ones out there. So,
yeah,
you know, take what you see there with a grain of salt, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But that's a great way for you to look and see right away to find out the weaknesses that are in each of these platforms. Yeah. So if we look through, let me go back. Let me look at USecure. If we look through here, you're going to see that people praise them for ease of use. And a common theme of something that they could improve is going to be product training. And that doesn't necessarily mean the product training is bad. It could just use an improvement. So be sure to check out the reviews of products and services in our stack charts so you can make an educated decision on the right tool for your MSP. All right. So let's head over into the feature spotlight section of Stack Chart Spotlight. You know, I got to say, I was really impressed when doing research on all of these different platforms. I kept gravitating over to Televi, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I've never had an opportunity to speak with these guys. I hope that they reach out and we can do a demo day soon. But something that I was really impressed with is they seem to use machine learning to automate their security assessments. So if you're familiar with what LionGuard has done for documentation with collecting all of the data and, you know, entering it automatically into IT Glue or Hoodoo, that seems to be what Televi is doing for security assessments. Garrett, is there anything that you liked about Televi?
I think a big thing is that the fact that they're aligning with like some of the NIST cybersecurity framework. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal because it's not just about like, oh, you know, I'm with NIST or anything, but it's helping like show that they're a responsible forward thinking organization. They're thinking ahead and you know, and how it extends to the MSPs, you know. So when you use frameworks like NIST, and there's many others out there, but things like this, it helps in a lot of areas that not just to help in the areas, but for you to think about, like, you know, you have like the risk management, you know, and the other thing too is the supply chain security. Looking at that, thinking about like adaptive like postures, like it was your posture and you can adapt to it. Like, okay, we have that, you know, like, so when you abide by a baseline, a framework, you know, it's definitely going to set the bar and the standard for you and others. And we could show to your clients, but also, it really helps the more people that are on these frameworks, insurance companies are, you know, kind of moving eyes toward like, hey, what kind of framework are you on? And more of these guys are wanting to know. So it's one of those things where you just really have to know that we need to be on this, but the company you're using is going to help you achieve this, you know?
Absolutely.
So I mean, I like that because it just makes things so much easier. Baselines and frameworks are so, yeah, it just really helps. A lot of benefits.
Yeah. And, you know, personally, I'm a fan of CIS controls, but that's not because I think they're more like, I don't know. I don't think they're stronger. You know, the reason I like CIS, Garrett, it's because they have those, they've got those worksheets that basically say, change all of these settings in Office 365. So that way you're in implementation group one. And so they just make it really easy for you to, like, they've got step-by-step instructions on how to configure Microsoft 365, Windows, Mac OS, iOS, Android. But again, that's not to say it's better than NIST CSF or NIST, what is it, 800-171, you know, all these other cybersecurity frameworks and controls that are out there. I just like it because it's like hitting the easy button.
Yeah. I mean, you can use both of them, you know, it just depends, you know, cause you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can use this. You know, yeah. It's not really one or the other, but you could definitely use them. You don't kind of thread it into your approach and how you want to get things done. So, because mm-hmm. internal, external, there's all kinds of stuff that you can, you know, position those frameworks in.
So, Garrett, let's put our COO hats on. As before I was wearing the CEO hat, now I want to wear the operations hat. Typically, you know, the operations person is who's going to evaluate the cybersecurity risk assessment and management platforms, while the CEO goes and does much more important things, right? So what I like to do is the third segment of Stack Chart Spotlight is what I call MSP Buyer's Guide. I'd like to go over some questions that you MSPs should be asking when you're evaluating cybersecurity risk and assessment, risk and compromise assessment platforms. Mm-hmm. So the first question, can the platform seamlessly integrate with our existing technology stack? So, you want to make sure that it integrates if you're using a SIM or a SOC with those platforms, or even just, do you want it to integrate with your RMM or PSA for some reason? The next question is, what cybersecurity frameworks does the platform align with? Earlier, you heard, for example, Telo V aligns with NIST CSF. There are other platforms out there that will align with CIS controls, or maybe you'll find something international that aligns with ISO 27001. You got to find the one that works with your cybersecurity framework and controls.
Yeah.
Garrett, what do you think?
There's a lot of stuff here, but you know, one of the things that I like is how does it assess risk? Is it like, you know, when it's questionnaires, you go there, is it using internal, external scanning, or, you know, are they offering a little bit of both? So that's a really good way to know, because assessing the risk is some of those things where it's like one time or you have to continue it. So knowing how that works is a really big part of, you know, how you're going to kind of figure out how to offer and explain and figure out where you are. In response to that, after that assessment is done, the reporting. How is that reporting user friendly to the executives, to your clients? And then for your techs, do we understand when we're looking at this, of these vulnerabilities, or is this something that I need to go over into my engineering? Or, you know, so the reporting that they offer is going to be everywhere from high level to, you know, for the business operations that slash marketing slash sales, because that really what it, that's the messaging that high level does. But then you have the internal, which is like, okay, here's what we need to do to get everything shored up, or maybe this is a zero day, you know. So it's very important to see, you know, what's the high level down to the depth that it can offer. So that's
absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, something else to think about is, you know, how does this platform guide remediation efforts? You know, is it going to do it automatically? Is it going to give you step-by-step instructions, or is it just going to say this thing's wrong and leave that completely up to interpretation for you to figure out how to fix it?
Yeah, that's, the remediation is an interesting thing, because I see things and you don't have the abilities to say one click, you know, do it. But I'm very nervous to do that. I need to understand what it's doing, you know, and I like that, because that's kind of one of those things where it kind of leads into the workflow capabilities. Like, if it sees that, do I want to have like workflows based around certain things that finds, yeah, go ahead and fix that or whatever, or like alert me and then do it, you know, because then I could assign, you know, to my team. I could track it and see what's going on. And then, and the like the auditing aspects of it, you know, like, you know, what was automated? What do we have to get our hands on? So I think that, you know, that approach, especially with the workflow capabilities. Yeah, man, that's a big one. A lot of people are doing automated remediation, but still, you know, it's, it depends on the platform.
Yeah. And, you know, the one last thing I want you guys to consider is, earlier we talked about integrations with our platforms, but you also might want to consider what integrations they're using to enable their platform. For example, you know, I'm going to pick on Garrett a little bit because he's right. And I hate that he's right.
What?
Hold on. So there are some tools that I'm used to using from back before I joined Channel Program that I'm no longer allowed to use. And that's because these tools might integrate with like OpenAI, ChatGPT. And the reason for that is we want to make sure we have control over where our data resides and what our data is being used for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Garrett, can you talk about, you know, real quick, like 20 seconds, the importance of that?
Of just, you know, like the integrations aspect. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you're playing baseball, you knock it out of the park, you don't know where the ball is going to land or hit. It's like data. You know, where is it going to go? Where is it going to land? What's it going to hit? What damage is it going to cause? You know, is it going to break your windshield, you know, in the baseball sense? But also, once it's there, you know, you don't have eyes on it anymore. And, mm-hmm. And you don't know what people are doing. You don't. And internally, they could be doing trials and not realize that, hey, I connected our 265, I signed in, you know, it's pulling in, well, whatever. Or you know, you don't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know, you know,
right.
That's what it comes down to, because shadow IT, it could be compliance. You don't know. So there's a lot of that. It's really, you know, least privileged, least trusted. You just really have to, you know, lock it down. You have to, because everybody is being targeted. And, you know, you might find out later down the road and be like, well, we have nothing to do with those guys. But then you find out, three of my internal people connected to it. You know, I had no clue, you know? So yeah, it's very important for that, because you need to be able to kind of say, I know exactly what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, I don't know. I don't sleep at night. I just don't. Especially guys like you, Steve, just connecting
everybody. Oh, I'm sorry, Garrett.
I'm kidding.
I promise I'm going to do better. Well, hey, that's it for today's Stack Chart Spotlight. Join us next week where we talk about business continuity and disaster recovery platforms for a special Day After World Backup Day edition of Stack Chart Spotlight.
World Backup Day. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. Cool. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you all.